Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Newell off. He'll be back next week. I'm Dave Cohen. Glad to be with you today as we open up the lunch buffet. It's potluck. Bring whatever you want. We'll chew on it, talk about it, and consider it can be anything we've already talked about. It can be the breaking up of the bromance between the president and Elon Musk. It can be LSU baseball, Saints football, anything else you want to bring to the buffet. We'll talk about it here on WWL. One thing I want to talk about is what's going on with the space program. So much of the future of Michoud is dependent on what's happening with NASA and with the U.S. space program, and with Japan trying to land a lunar rover on the moon this week. I thought it'd be a great time to talk about it, and I can think of no one better to help us find out what's going on in outer space than Peter King, CBS News correspondent and space junkie. Hey, Peter.
Good afternoon, Dave, and thanks for having me on. It's nice to talk to you.
Yeah, always a pleasure. We only get to talk a couple times a year, but I always look forward to it when we have the opportunity. And I always remember the day you bought us a bunch of charbroiled oysters and brought them up here to the radio station when you were in town, and I will always be grateful for that.
And I will always be grateful that you remembered that. Thank you.
So what is going on? Let's start with this attempt for Japan to land on the moon with a rover. How did that go for Japan?
It didn't go well. I mean, let's face it. Landing on the moon or any place that's not the Earth is very, very hard. We don't know exactly what happened. We know that the iSpace company, which is the company that built the spacecraft, it was a privately owned, privately financed mission that launched from here in Florida back in January on a SpaceX rocket. And they took the long way around the moon to save fuel and power and such. They lost touch with the spacecraft called Resilience about 2 minutes before it was supposed to soft land on the moon, and they have determined that basically that soft landing turned into a crash landing.
So it wasn't quite resilient enough.
It was not quite resilient enough, and the name Resilience was adopted after their first spacecraft crashed 2 years ago, so they were hoping for much better results. You know, this is a tough thing. There have been private companies and five countries and all that have landed uncrewed spacecraft on the moon. And China's even landed a robotic spacecraft on the far side of the moon. It's a very, very difficult thing to do. The learning curve is very, very high. And we've got to give the Japanese credit for giving it a try and for a private company to put its money into it. So hopefully better luck next time. They can figure out what went wrong.
All right. With the caveat that things could change dramatically specifically with this dispute now between Elon Musk and his SpaceX company and the president of the United States and Donald Trump, prior to the last couple of days of barbs being thrown on social media and the bromance breaking up and the fight between these two gentlemen, where are we at with the U.S. space program? I have two people in my inner circle, two family members who were working in the aerospace industry here in New Orleans out at the NASA Michoud Assembly Facility, and both have seen staff reductions claim their jobs. And it made me wonder, are we still going to land astronauts on the moon? Are we still going to send a mission from the moon to Mars? What's the plan right now for NASA?
Right now, it's everything is very, very much in flux. We don't even have a permanent NASA administrator. Donald Trump pulled Jared Isaacman's name from nomination earlier this week, and I think that was part of the whole blow-up with Musk, because Isaacman and Musk were very, very closely aligned, and a lot of people are upset that his name was pulled because they felt that he had a really good plan for leading NASA through whatever is next. But the question is, what is next? And that is very much in flux. I hate to dance around it. I think what's happening specifically with the programs that affect Michoud, the space launch system, the monster rocket that's supposed to launch Americans to the moon, may be one or two flights and done. Because Mr. Trump has said he wants to focus more on Mars, less on the moon. And the SLS is a very, very expensive proposition that's already years behind schedule and many billions of dollars over budget. So I think we may see a couple of launches because of what's already in the pipeline, but I think that's going to be it. One will send four astronauts around the moon next April, if everything goes according to plan. That launch vehicle is being stacked at the Vehicle Assembly Building at Kennedy Space Center right now. Whether NASA actually lands astronauts on the moon by its goal before the end of the decade, now that's a question because...
Yeah, last I heard, they were working on the third vehicle here in New Orleans. I remember last year when they delivered the second vehicle, and that's the one you just referenced, that's in Cape Canaveral now awaiting its launch. But I don't know what's going on with the third one here and if and when it's ever going to be delivered.
Well, and that's a big, big question. Keep in mind that there are a lot of moving parts on this. One of the biggest parts of the whole moon equation is Elon Musk's Starship launch vehicles, the Starships that were supposed to actually land astronauts on the moon. And yet we have yet to have a successful Starship flight in Earth orbit and a successful touchdown. So, you know, that's very, very much up in the air. There are alternative lunar landers that are being designed by other providers. But again, a lot of moving parts and, you know, we don't know how many of them are actually moving in the right direction at this point.
All right. So without an administrator and without clear direction from the administration, I understand the position you're in. And you can't really tell us what the future holds. And that's kind of been the back and forth. I think going back to George W. Bush as president, we've kind of seen the program change with every administration and the expectation shifted. But you said that President Trump wants to focus more on Mars. Would that be talking about instead of landing on the moon, then using that as a lunar base to then send a mission to Mars, going directly from Earth to Mars in theory?
Well, in theory, that's a possibility. But you know what? We don't have any specifics. We know that he has his sights on Mars. Elon Musk has had his sights on Mars. And, you know, I think if he had his way, he's going to be just shooting for Mars and forget about the moon. So I wish I had more concrete answers for you because
all of
that is in the mix.
We don't want you
all
to make it
that
up.
It's in the mix.
Yeah, you know, Elon Musk actually played a role in a TV show on Disney Plus called Mars. And it was they would go back and forth from a documentary style interview program to then extrapolating that to and them kind of envisioning what it would be like and giving us a drama that takes place on Mars. And so his passion for Mars was very clear in that. There were two seasons of it. I think one of them is on Disney Plus, and the other I had to find on some weird network that I had to subscribe to and then cancel. But so Elon Musk clearly has a passion for Mars, but how much passion does President Trump now have for Elon Musk? And will they work together to get to Mars?
Well, and there are other questions that go with all of this. I mean, you're talking about two people in your inner circle who have lost their jobs because of recent reductions in workforce, if you will. I mean, NASA is cutting about a third of its workforce right now. The budget is going to be about a quarter less than what was originally requested, from $25 to about $19 billion. There are stop work orders on all kinds of projects within the space agency. Don't forget, we still have the space station up there, but that support for that within the administration is waning, and they're looking at an end game for U.S. involvement in the space station and for the space station itself. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff going on here, Dave.
Yeah, and then we throw in when he was president the first time, President Trump created the Space Force, and a lot of people thought, well, maybe that will actually help NASA, buoy NASA, because there'll be more money and research put into developing our space technology for the Space Force. But we hear almost nothing about the Space Force now.
Well, Space Force is basically the space wing, or what used to be the space wing of the Air Force, and you know, there's also been talk of Space Force and NASA merging some operations, too. I mean, the variables here are mind-boggling.
Peter, we appreciate your joining us, and I get the position you're in, so I wasn't expecting you to give us answers to questions you can't answer, but at least you've kind of helped us understand where things stand right now, you know, with the budget cuts and the uncertainty in the future of the program, and I guess we shall see. We will, as we like to say, stay tuned.
We didn't even talk about what's going on with Musk and Trump and the whole threatening to pull SpaceX funding and this and that. And, you know, all of that makes this a very, very complicated mix right now. But you're right. You know, stay with us and we'll report and tell you everything we know when we know it.
All right, Peter, we look forward to you joining us again, and we always enjoy hearing you on the CBS Radio Network here on WWL. I know you got to run, so we'll let you do that. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Peter.
Dave, thank you. Great speaking with you.
CBS's Peter King here on WWL. I'm Dave Cohen. Anything you want to talk about now, we got the rest of the hour at 504-260-1870. I do want to throw out on the table, because I just had an odd experience. In fact, during the news break last hour, one of my kids has an Airbnb in Baton Rouge, and the microwave broke, and the current client that is there needs a microwave because they wanted to pop some popcorn last night, and they said they tried to and the microwave stopped working. So I had to have a microwave delivered to the Airbnb, and I'd never ordered one. I did it on Walmart.com because they can deliver direct from the store and have it there this afternoon. But it asked me to tip the driver, and I don't know how I tip someone not knowing what their performance is going to be. I get, and I know the tipping culture has gotten kind of crazy, and we get asked to tip people all the time now for things we never would have considered tipping people for before. But how do I tip someone? I think tips are performance-based, right? You reward someone for a job well done. That's what the tip is for, right? Well, the job hasn't been done yet, and I don't know if it's going to be done well. I did it. Because I'm afraid if I don't tip them, they might take longer or be less responsible in their way they deliver it. Because, like, they ain't tipping me. Hell with them. So what do I do? I'm asked to tip before I can evaluate a performance. 504-260-1870. You had any weird tipping experiences? And are you amongst the growing number of Americans who are just frustrated by the whole being asked to tip all the time for all kinds of things we never were before? 504-260-1870. That's on the Lunchtime Buffet. And anything else you want to talk about after this on WWL.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, it's Friday. Thought we'd lighten things up a little bit, but if you want to talk about some heavy topics, that's fine too. I know that Newell likes to call it No Filter Friday, where we let you talk about whatever you want, so feel free to call in at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, and we'll do that. I threw something out a minute ago because during the last news break, I had to order a microwave from Walmart, and I need it delivered to one of my kids' Airbnb properties in Baton Rouge today because the one there apparently stopped working, according to the current people staying there. And I'd never done that. I'd never done the direct delivery from the store on Walmart.com before. And it asked me how much I wanted to tip the driver. And it defaulted to 10% of the price of the microwave to have them deliver it, which is weird to me in general because, and I've never liked the idea that we tip a percentage of the bill because I don't understand that. I don't understand why if I order a hot dog, let me make it more sense. If I order a hamburger, which is ground beef, right? Or I order a steak, that the tip would be different for the server who brings that food to the table. There's no difference in bringing me a plate with a hamburger on it or a plate with a steak on it. Yet if I'm tipping 20% of the cost of a $10 burger, it's only $2. But if I'm tipping 20% of a $40 steak, it's $8. Why do they get more because I chose a more expensive item off the menu? Likewise, I ordered, I think it was a $90 microwave from Walmart. So it said I should tip them $9. That was the default. But what if I had ordered something about the same size and the same weight that cost 10 times more or cost much less? Why should that be based on a percentage? One person texts in and says, you don't tip the Amazon delivery driver, so why tip the Walmart delivery driver? Well, I was afraid if I didn't tip them that I'd get bad service. But normally, yeah, I like to tip based on their performance. Another person says, Dave, it's so crazy that even having tip jars now in the local marijuana dispensaries. Well, I did not know that. Somebody else says they're calling it a tip, but it's actually a delivery fee, semantics. And somebody else texted in, am I supposed to tip when I order to go from a restaurant? I thought the tip was for the server, no tip? Question mark. I've been torn on that as well, because someone has to bag it up. Someone has to put all of that food into the styrofoam or plastic containers. Someone has to get it ready, put it in the bags. They have to put in the napkins and the silverware and any condiments or whatever else is needed. Someone has to take time to do that, that they would be probably working a table, which would tip them anyway. So I'm torn on that too. And I kind of came to the conclusion, maybe we don't tip them as much, but that person probably still deserves a tip for getting the order ready and bagging it up and bringing it to my car or bringing it to the counter when I get in. Church, thanks for calling. You're on WWL. What do you think?
Hey, Dave. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
Hey, I wanted to tell you, I just got back from Japan a few days ago. We were out there for about 2.5 weeks.
Welcome back.
And in Japan, there is no tipping at all.
Is that like by law, or is that just by custom?
That's just their culture. They don't want any tipping. That the pride in their work and the pride that they provide the service is basically their tip. But there's across the board in every city that we visited, 8 or 9 cities that we visited while we were out there. There is no tipping at any restaurant, any convenience store, any service or thing that we did.
Did you know this going in? Did you know that there was no tipping, or did you try to tip and then found out?
No, we knew. We knew. We watched a lot of YouTube videos beforehand before we went to kind of get acclimated to what goes on over there. But we knew ahead of time that there was no tipping. And one case, we were at a restaurant for breakfast in the morning, and they even had a Japanese guy basically try to give the hostess the change back as a tip, and she basically ran after him to give him the money back. So,
that's dramatic.
They just want to provide like A-class service, which they did. And if I could move there tomorrow, I would.
That was my next question. Was it refreshing or frustrating that you couldn't reward someone for a job well done, or that you didn't have that pressure of having to worry about tipping, that it was built into the cost on the front end?
Yeah, I think it was refreshing. And like I said, they want to provide a great service, and they're not looking for extra money. Now, they may be... their wages may be different than the U.S. as, people that are servers or whatever. But it was refreshing that you didn't have to, add whatever 18-20% to a bill to show that it was great service. These people provided it, regardless, and they weren't looking for any kind of extra money. So,
yeah, I would be fully supportive. And I don't know that we can make the transition, because I think you have too many people left to buy in. And I think restaurants and other businesses that have tried to go to the no tipping model have not had a lot of success. I think it's an all or nothing thing. But I would love if we could, in our society, build the tips, the price of paying someone what they deserve, into the economic model on the front end, so that it's not... And I'm fine with rewarding people for a job well done, but I think the boss should reward them, not necessarily the client or the customer. So I would be happy with getting rid of tips, but increasing salaries to accommodate that and paying more for the service or the meal or for whatever. So we just didn't have to go through that whole rigmarole. Would you support that?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I mean, I think if you built it in, that means again, they would do a great service because they're getting paid more, but you wouldn't have to worry about, should I tip? Because if I don't, am I going to get, like you said, with the microwave?
Yeah, well, the tipping service on the front end is just, that's totally stupid to me. Someone did text in and said I can adjust it later. Apparently Walmart will give me the opportunity if I want to go back and adjust the tip after I see what time they bring it and if they break it and things like that. But just asking for that tip on the front end, that really kind of irked me.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, it's it opened my eyes to go there and to see how it was being done. And like I said, between the 8, 9, 10 cities that we went to, we had no bad experience. And my final point is, if you can go to Japan, if you haven't been already, please go.
Church, I appreciate it. Yeah, I got a high school buddy who actually owns a ski lodge in Japan, and I've always meant to go and never have. And now I know I can go, and I don't have to tip him when I stay there. Thank you, Church. We appreciate the call. Have a great weekend. Someone texted in, tipping is out of control. It makes me feel uncomfortable, and that's also out of control. Says, I went to buy a gift card at PJ's Coffee in the drive-thru, and they put a tip on the receipt for a gift card. Yeah, is that double dipping? Don't you think the person who uses the gift card will tip them once they make a purchase? Yeah, should you tip for a gift card? Ann, thanks for calling. You're on WWL. Hey, Ann, what's on your mind?
This is what's on my mind. The other day, I was bringing a medical professional to Children's Hospital. Now, Henry Clay.
What do you mean you were bringing them to Children's Hospital?
I was bringing them to work. I drive Uber.
Oh, okay. You're an Uber driver. Okay. You're not just picking up medical professionals on the side of the road. All right, I got you. You drive for Uber, and and your client was a doctor, nurse, or something like that. Okay.
Right. So, as we're driving down the road, Henry Clay.
And if there's any way you can talk more directly into your microphone, you're sounding underwater, and I want people to understand what you're saying.
All right. Hold on a second.
I don't know if you're on a Bluetooth device or something like that, but it's hard to understand you right now. So,
is this better?
Oh, yeah, much better. All right. Go ahead, Ann.
All right. So while I was bringing them to work that morning, I noticed how rocky the street is. There are portions that are smooth, and then you have portions that are very problematic. But I would think, if any street should be smooth, it should be Henry Clay.
Because, yeah, people who are injured, children who are needing medical attention are being brought down that street. You know, it's interesting you say that because, remember, until just recently, Magazine Street from River Road to Henry Clay was by far one of the worst streets in the city.
Oh, my, yes.
And they finally resurfaced it. And I never could understand why Children's Hospital and the Zoo and Audubon Park didn't have the political power to get them to resurface that street. Because for years, it was literally filled with craters. So they fixed Magazine, and they still haven't fixed Henry Clay.
Hello?
All right, I think we lost Ann there. But Ann, thank you for the call. I appreciate it at 504-260-1870. Brennan, thanks for calling. You're on WWL.
Hey, man, how you doing? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, Brennan. What's on your mind?
I worked as a waiter in Covington for, 10 years. And I really think when it comes to the tipping, it needs to just be included in our pay. A lot of the times, customers would base it off of mistakes the kitchen would make or stuff out of our control. And I just don't think tipping works in this society anymore.
So you who live and work for tips would support getting rid of tips. What is a better system?
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah. If the employer himself could just compensate for what we would, with our pay or, the minimum wage was raised, we wouldn't have to ask for tips in this way. We wouldn't have to flip a tablet when y'all want a coffee because it's awkward for us, too. We don't want to do it,
Yeah. Brennan, have you ever understood, though, why tipping is based on the size of the bill rather than just maybe, 5, 10, whatever, how many dollars? I've never understood why what I order, because it doesn't, as a server, does it matter to you? Is it any more difficult? Does it require any more effort or time for you to bring a more expensive menu item to the table than a less expensive item?
It doesn't. Really, the only time I see when, gratuity has to be added to something is when I'm one person serving 10, 15 people. Like you were talking about with your delivery, I think that, it's too subjective, and it's too
varied from what people are ordering to do something like that. I get your confusion.
Yeah. And on the flip side, if someone has a less expensive order, should you be punished as a server and get a smaller tip because they ordered something cheaper off the menu? Yeah, I would be in full support of, if we're not going to get rid of tipping, just kind of make it like, you know, some standard number, like, you know, based on the number of people at the table, the number of drinks you have to keep refilling, the number of meals you have to bring, the number of entrees, the number of whatever, you know, and just come up with a number, whether it's, you know, like you're going to get, you know, $5 per person, then that'll be your tip, regardless of what we order. I just don't understand the whole percentage thing.
I don't either, man. I really don't get it, and I wish there was some kind of standard. I know for my grandfather, what he would do is, no matter where we went, even if, like, it was a coffee, he always brought $5 to tip. So, you know, that was his standard.
Yeah, I know,
you know,
some...
If it's a big meal, he'll go higher, but...
I know some older people like that, too, and sometimes that actually frustrates me, because if we have a party of 10 and they're paying, they'll just leave a 5. I'm like, no, well, no, come on now. You can't just leave $5. That person just worked their butt off, and they're getting paid $2.13 an hour from their employer. So, yeah, we'd have to do so much less mental gymnastics and have so many fewer issues if the employer would just pay you what you're worth and charge us what it costs to pay you that.
100% agree. It would save so much time and frustration on both sides. Maybe waitresses and waiters would finally, you know, get treated a little bit better because people aren't as frustrated.
I hear you. Brendan, thank you for the call. Garrett, thanks for calling. You're on WWL. What you thinking about today, Garrett?
Hey, Dave, man. I can't believe we're even talking about this. This is unbelievable. These people make minimum $2.13 below. What is that, half below minimum wage? They rely on their... you know, the tips for their income. I mean, it's standard, man. You do 15, you do 20% if you're a good guy. If you don't do 15%, then you just like shorten them. I mean, I can't believe we have to have this discussion. Are you serious? I mean, you know what's really the discussion? That people don't even understand what these people are working for. How they make their money.
Yeah, but Garrett, I think there's mostly agreement when it comes to servers at a restaurant, bartenders, people in the service industry, particularly when we're talking about food and drink. Most of us understand tipping those folks. But it seems like everywhere we turn now, we're asked to tip somebody for something, and it just, many people feel like it's out of control. Do you feel like beyond servers, food and drink, that we should be talking about this?
Right, we should be talking about it. When you go to a smoothie bar and somebody makes you a smoothie and the little thing comes up and asks you for a tip, you know, hey, they're doing their job. Hey, but check it. Hey, you know what? Those guys are getting not $2.13 an hour. Those guys are getting a reasonable wage, you know. And if you want to tip them, you know, to make up for it, that's cool.
But how do we know?
They're not getting $2.13 an hour. What you're talking about, they're not getting $2.13 an hour.
Well, how do we know that? As a consumer, I don't know how much the employer is paying this person, and I don't know how much I should tip them, right? And what about what about the Walmart delivery driver that I was asked to tip today when I ordered a microwave?
Well, let me put it to you. Hey, because when somebody's serving you for an hour or two at a restaurant, they're coming back and forth to the table, they're doing that, this and that for you. That's how you know. When you go to a smoothie bar and somebody makes you a smoothie, it's not the same. That's how you know. So you just judge for yourself, and that's how you make the difference. Maybe
so Garrett, like you wouldn't support restaurants paying servers more and getting rid of tipping.
I mean, I almost would, because people are so just out of touch with tipping them. They feel like they just like that service is free.
Thank you, Garrett. A lot of frustration on a lot of sides. All right, we're back after this on WWL, celebrating Friday.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We're going to get back to your calls in just a moment, but I was looking, and I know a lot of you are heading to the beach this weekend. It's that time of year. The schools are closed now. Kids are out, and it's time to head to Alabama, Florida, Gulf Coast beaches. But there is a high rip current warning along all of the Alabama and Florida Gulf Coast this weekend. And so we wanted to get Brett Lessinger in here, the Beach Safety Division Chief for the city of Orange Beach, to just kind of remind us about beach safety, because sadly, over the last few years, we've seen a number of deaths of Louisiana children and others because of high rip currents. Hey, Brett, thanks for joining us here on WWL.
Oh, hey.
I think we hear you now. There you are. How you doing, Brett?
Appreciate y'all. I'm good. I appreciate y'all for having me on and being able to speak on a topic that's near and dear to home.
Yeah, I've spent many wonderful days on the beaches in Orange Beach, and we want to make sure everyone who does spend those wonderful days over there comes back safe and alive and healthy. And right now you got a high rip current warning. This has become something that you guys have been doing a real effort to educate people better about, isn't it?
Yeah, on the front end, you can really reach a lot of beach safety information. You know, we have a texting service that you can opt into that kind of gives you a updated daily beach report every single morning. And then, you know, we have the flag system in place that kind of indicates directly what the rip current risk is for the day. But, yeah, there's all kinds of online resources that you can reach and have at your fingertips. That way, you and your family can be knowledgeable of beach conditions before you even get your toes in the sand.
Yeah, but the first time you walk down that boardwalk, there's always a flag right there at the end, right? What are we looking for to make us know that all is well if we want to get in the water?
Yellow flag is our medium hazard, moderate surf and current. So that would be your safer swimming conditions if you have good swimming ability. So the common misconception is that you can just swim anytime that you want. So you do have to have personal swimming ability in order to enter an open body of water. You know, the depth is unknown and there are always currents and marine life that are out there. But any other flag besides the yellow flag, you should have high caution. So a single red flag indicates high hazard, high surf, strong currents. That's going to be really strong rip currents that even the best swimmer would struggle against. And then double red flags is, of course, water is closed off to the public. So that's dry sand only on double red flag days.
What color is the flag today?
It is a single red.
All right. So there is a risk with that high rip current there. And I'm looking at the National Weather Service's map, and it looks like it extends literally all the way across Alabama and the entire length of Florida right now. So something people should be aware of. If you get caught in a rip current, I was always taught to swim parallel to the shore, which is very counterintuitive, I think, on the front end, because you want to get to the shore as fast as possible. But if you swim parallel to the shore, the wave action actually helps push you there and saves your energy, huh?
Yeah, so, I mean, definitely one thing that you should look for is where the white water is. So a simple way to identify a rip current is an area where there's no breaking waves and it's like a smooth-looking channel. That typically indicates a deeper area of water, which is where a rip current would be present. If you see waves or whitewash and white water on either side, that indicates a shallower area or a sandbar where breaking waves are present. So if you're out in the Gulf and you feel like you're caught in a current or you can't make progress back to shore, swim towards where those breaking waves of the whitewash is. And you're exactly right. That those waves and white water will actually help push you to shore, but it's also going to get you from a deeper area into a shallower area.
Brett, we appreciate your coming on and your passion for this issue, and we know that the information you share, those flags that you guys put up and warning people, can absolutely save lives if they pay attention to it. And I guess the bottom line is always make sure someone's keeping an eye out, particularly with those kids when they're in the water, huh?
Yep, always have a water watcher, one person designated to keep everybody, at least keep tabs on everybody. And if you do see an emergency or an emergency is taking place, dial 911 immediately and responders will be there as quick as we can.
Brett, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We appreciate it here on WWL.
Awesome. Y'all have a safe afternoon.
You too. I'm Dave Cohen, back with more of your calls after this. And I'll leave this topic with this. I remember when the kids get in the water, it's amazing how fast they can get 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 feet away. They're just playing in the waves, but the current's carrying them further and further away. So I would say, yeah, also just make sure your kids know. When you holler, they know they better get back closer to where you are. We'll get back to your calls next. Emily, thanks for calling. You're on WWL. What's on your mind, Emily?
You know, you're talking about tips for, like, service industries, like being a waitress. What about when you go to get your haircut? Or you go to like the nail place, those prices are preset. Like when you go to get your hair cut, most of the time those people work for themselves. They set the price and then you kind of get left up to decide how good the service was, how much extra you're going to give up over the price that's already been set. I guess I've always struggled with that because if you don't tip big, you might not get an appointment next time.
Right, or if you do get an appointment, you may not get the result you want. If they go, oh, that person doesn't tip, and then they may you know, be upset about it, or they may just not give you as great a service.
How much is a big tip? You know, like, am I supposed to give $2 to the eyebrow lady, or is it $5?
Well, I've never had my eyebrows done, so I don't know about the eyebrow lady.
But the same thing to get a haircut. If you tell me my hair service is $50, now I have to decide, are you worth $55 or should I give you $60 or is $50 what it costs? Just put your tip in there and I never have to wonder.
Yeah,
you
Emily,
can even tell me it's $50.
I am so with you. Just price it what you think the service is worth. Now, I get rewarding people who do a good job, but I think we're way past that now. Tips are no longer just about rewarding good service. And everywhere you go, you're asked to tip. And again, this all started because I was asked to tip a delivery driver before they make the delivery. I'm getting a microwave delivered from Walmart. What do I tip for that? And it defaulted to 10%, so that's what I went ahead and tipped. And I guess we'll just see how it all works out. Emily, thanks for the call. I feel your frustration. And like I said before, I wish we could go to a tip-free society like the guy called about and said it's like in Japan. But I just think it's either all or nothing, and it would be so hard to transition at this point. We are going to transition out of this show to the Scoot Show next. Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good. You know, I tipped somebody just the other day because I brought my car in for the oil change, the maintenance, and there was some fraying on the top of my steering wheel. And the girl said, well, I'm not sure, but this might be covered under warranty. She dug deep and found out that it was covered under warranty. I have a brand new steering wheel.
Wow.
So she
wasn't a steering wheel cover, the actual steering wheel.
It was like $900. The steering wheel was
Damn.
$900 for just the steering wheel. Because, you know, you got nice all that stuff in the, you know, like
the, oh, that's the phone controls stuff and all that.
Yeah, you got all that stuff.
My wife's new vehicle has heated and cooled stuff in the steering wheel.
Yeah, there's like all kind of stuff. It was $900. So, you know.
And look, you got it for free.
I got it for free, yeah.
So did you tip her?
I did. I dropped off. She wasn't there, but I dropped off a thank you card and a $25 gift card for Starbucks.
Thank you notes? People still write actual thank you notes?
I did. I wrote her. Well, I got a thank you card. Yeah, just, it was a basic thank you card. Yeah. Thank you for, you know, for digging deep and getting this.
That's great. What you got coming up?
All right. So, you know, we've got to talk about June the 6th. This is a very big day, especially considering what we do for a living. You know, freedom of speech. We have the ability to speak freely because of what our forefathers did and because of what happened on this day in
81 years ago.
Yeah, 1944. So we'll talk about that.
All right. Scoot's up next. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday morning at 5 a.m. Send me a tip.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.